Lecture 11, Christianity and Culture.
In this penultimate lecture, we again consider Christianity in the world under the topic of religion and culture. In its long history, Christianity has engaged a range of cultures. First was the Jewish symbolic world of Torah, shared by Jesus and the apostles. Then the Greco-Roman culture of the diaspora as Christianity moved into the ancient Roman Empire. And then successively the European, American, African, and Asian cultures. Christianity has certainly been shaped by each of these cultural engagements, but Christianity has also helped shape culture. Even Judaism and Islam look differently because of the experience of Christianity. It is, nevertheless, another of Christianity's paradoxes that a religion whose origins were so countercultural should find itself so entwined with culture over the course of its history. At the explicit level, the New Testament gives scant encouragement to a positive engagement with culture. Remember that the earliest expectation was that Jesus would be returning to judge the living and the dead within a very short period of time. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that the time is short and the frame of this world is passing away. That's scarcely an attitude that encourages one to get deeply involved in the forms of culture. Indeed, the mysterious revelation through Jesus Christ is pitted explicitly against the wisdom of this world. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus himself is quoted as saying, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So in the words of Jesus, this deep wisdom is hidden from those who are wise in worldly ways and is given to infants. In his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul likewise says that the wise in their wisdom did not know God. And so God had to reveal how true wisdom is to be found through the foolishness and the powerlessness of the cross of Christ. In addition to this, the New Testament continues what some scholars call the aconic tradition of Israel. That is, the tradition in Israel that God is not to be portrayed by any sort of image. And the New Testament has little attention given to beauty, to pleasure, or to human artistry. It is, among all the world's religious literature, perhaps the most lacking in any visual appreciation or any sense of human eros, of human desire and human love. Yet there are indications already in the New Testament that Christianity was engaging culture. The letters of Paul and the letter to the Hebrews make good use of Greek rhetoric. They make arguments in the form of the rhetoric described by Aristotle. And we find elements of Greco-Roman popular moral philosophy in the writings of the New Testament. The New Testament writers pick up the themes of friendship and envy and harmony and contentment. And it must be acknowledged that the Christian belief in the incarnation, that God is revealed through the human body of Jesus, provides a basis for art. Clearly, if the body is worthwhile, then at some point Christianity is going to come to grips with pictorial representations of the body.